"Sayori, are you well?" he said, speaking quietly so as not to wake Mameha.
"I don't think Nobu-san has ever asked me such a thing before," I said. "He must be in a very cheerful mood."
"The future has never looked more promising."
Mameha stirred at the sound of our talking, so Nobu said nothing further and instead continued up the aisle to the toilet. Just before opening the door, he glanced back toward where the other men were seated. For an instant, I saw him from an angle I'd rarely seen, which gave him a look of fierce concentration. When his glance flicked in my direction, I thought he might pick up some hint that I felt as worried about my future as he felt reassured about his. How strange it seemed, when I thought about it, that Nobu understood me so little. Of course, a geisha who expects understanding from her donna is like a mouse expecting sympathy from the snake. And in any case, how could Nobu possibly understand anything about me when he'd seen me solely as a geisha, keeping my true self carefully concealed? The chairman was the only man I'd ever entertained as Sayori the geisha who had also known me as Chiyo. Though it was strange to think of it this way, for I'd never realized it before. What would Nobu have done if he had been the one to find me that day at the Shirakawa stream? Surely he would have walked right past, and how much easier it might have been for me if he had. I wouldn't spend my nights yearning for the chairman. I wouldn't stop in cosmetic shops from time to time to smell the scent of talc in the air and remind myself of his skin. I wouldn't strain to picture his presence beside me in some imaginary place. If you'd asked me why I wanted these things, I would have answered, "Why does a ripe persimmon taste delicious? Why does wood smell smoky when it burns?" But here I was again, like a girl trying to catch mice with her hands. Why couldn't I stop thinking about the chairman? I'm sure my anguish must have shown clearly on my face when the door to the toilet opened a moment later and the light snapped off. I couldn't bear for Nobu to see me this way, so I laid my head against the window pretending to be asleep. After he passed by, I opened my eyes again. I found that the position of my head had caused the curtains to pull open so that I was looking outside the airplane for the first time since shortly after we'd lifted off the runway. Spread out below was a broad vista of aqua blue ocean, mottled with the same jade green as a certain hair ornament Mameha sometimes wore. I never imagined the ocean with patches of green. From the sea cliffs in Yoroido, it had always looked the color of slate. Here, the sea stretched all the way out to a single line pulled across like a wool thread where the sky began. This view wasn't frightening at all, but inexpressibly lovely. Even the hazy disk of the propeller was beautiful in its own way, and the silver wing had a kind of magnificence and was decorated with those symbols that American warplanes have on them. How peculiar it was to see them there, considering the world only 5 years earlier. We had fought a brutal war as enemies, and now what? We had given up our past. This was something I understood fully, for I had done it myself once. If only I could find a way of giving up my future.